If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is an interesting day today, and a day that people really won't look at as being a big deal, but trust me, something big happened today. Josh Whitman extended the contract of Brad Underwood. Now, this is something that really, really is important because it does a couple of things. One is it sets up the fact that Illinois is paying its coach big time dollars. It also sets up the fact that when Coach Underwood is out recruiting, he's going to have a stability that will make him unassailable by some of his competitors. And trust me, they will find things to, they'll make up things if they can't find something to talk about. So this is a big deal for that. Matt, you've been close to this situation and you've done a lot of research in the contracts. You've obviously followed college sports at Auburn, Mississippi State, and at Purdue prior to coming to Illinois. What is your assessment of this situation? And maybe before you give it, tell us a little bit about what happened today, you know, just by the numbers for Coach Underwood.
So when Illinois sends out the release early Wednesday morning that they've extended Brad Underwood, I know that it becomes a big PR day for Illinois, and it becomes a big PR day for Brad Underwood too. But for people like me in the business that I've been in since and I graduated college, I kind of wanted to cut through all the PR crap and go, okay, what did they really do today? Because my initial reaction after, say, covering Auburn and like Gus Malzahn, where Auburn bid against itself for years over a coach that nobody else in the country wanted, and left themselves with a $20+ million buyout on a coach that nobody else in the country would have wanted at that point, but Auburn really, really wanted and should have wanted. You kind of get conditioned to go, okay, and when today happens or when Wednesday morning happens and you get that release, you're like, oh God, how much did Illinois bid against themselves for Brad Underwood? Because the marketplace was not going to have Brad Underwood go anywhere else but Champaign to coach next season. So I thought, okay, what did they really do? And I looked at it and I was like, okay, compared to his deal that he had before, which was, as we, I think we can all agree, maybe I'm wrong, but this was the, hey, you've brought Illinois back to the NCAA tournament deal, which was the previous deal, which got signed in September of 2021, which was based off of the year before, which was the COVID year where, let's just all agree, Illinois was going to be in the tournament and be a pretty high seed and all of those things. Whitman had agreed at that point, okay, you've brought us back to NCAA tournament status. I'm going to now reward you with a big contract, which is exactly what happened. So they hadn't really done a new deal until then. And then you basically sit there and you go, okay, what did they really do? Well, what they really did was they increased his salary by $500,000 a year over the first 5 years. The sixth year, I don't know what the figure is because they haven't released it. So I won't know that until May, and nobody else will either, unless you were in the room signing the contract or negotiating it.
I was not.
Yeah, I wasn't either. So we'll know that in May, but the first 5 years of this deal have been increased by $500,000. And then I thought, okay, oh crap. Like, what has Illinois tied themselves to in a sense? Does the buyout get lowered because Brad Underwood has agreed to another year? No, it actually goes up. And I'm like, okay, so Illinois has protected himself on the back end, but yet made their coach one of the 10 highest paid coaches in the country. And they really only did it by increasing a year, and they really haven't increased. And if there needs to be a divorce after 2 or 3 years, they're not hamstrung by being unable to do that. Okay. So for me, this is kind of a win on both sides. I thought that Brett Underwood gets the deal that he wanted. Brett Just, his agent, got the deal probably that they wanted to get done. And Illinois has not leveraged themselves in the situation where if they want to get a new head coach in 2-3 years and they find that situation to be tenable, that, you know, that doesn't become an impossibility. And then also, if somebody else wants to hire Brett Underwood, Illinois is very well compensated and can go out and get a very, very talented and very, very, I would say a top tier coach with the money that they've just been given by the school that wants to hire Brett Underwood. So I think everybody kind of won today. And then from a PR standpoint, if you're a fan, you get to be bombarded with the idea that Brett Underwood wants to be in Champaign for as long as humanly possible, and Illinois wants him here and all that stuff. So I don't think it was a win. I don't think it was a loss for anybody today. I really don't. And I was skeptical that I thought it was going to be, because when you see that, you're like, oh God, like, what did Illinois do? You know, because there wasn't anybody in the marketplace that was going to hire Brett Underwood, like at least not this offseason. So what did they do? But we'll get into why I think this was a win for everybody, but that was my knee jerk response.
So it was the odds of Coach Underwood, you know, getting hired away this year were small, although, you know, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. Obviously this weekend for you folks who maybe aren't as familiar with things, but, you know, this weekend is the Final Four. That was kind of how Bill Self got himself in position for the Kansas job all those years ago. And I would say one thing, hiring Brad Underwood would certainly provide a lot of credibility for a team out there if they were trying to make a splash in the coaching world. But you're right, the odds of that were, you know, it would take a unique circumstance this particular year with what we've seen so far. Kedrick, what did you think when you heard this news, you know, coming out of Champaign today?
First thing I thought of was kudos to Josh Whitman. I really did. It wasn't Brad Underwood. I will go on record. I'll write about it, tweet it, podcast it, radio it, if that makes any sense. That dude is a legitimate athletic director. When he got that job, he talked about winning and taking care of his people. If people can't see this, then they need a new pair of contacts or glass, because this dude is about winning games. Truly impressive, because Brad Underwood was one of the top highest paid coaches in college basketball. You have a women's coach who just got an $800,000 contract in women's basketball. Your assistant coaches are the highest paid assistant coaches in the country. This guy is just impressive. I mean, if this doesn't prove how important it is to be in Illinois and to win, nothing will. I'm just thoroughly impressed with the effort from the coaches. You can see the progress in all programs. Now, granted, Coach Green just got there. You haven't seen that, but you know her past, her background. I just think it's a win-win situation. And to be honest with you, I talked to Coach Underwood today, and I congratulated him. And you know what his response was? We're not done. We're going to build this. We're going to continue to build it. And for all those people out there who want to tweet at me, say to me that they're not happy about this, I want you to put this in your cigar and smoke this evening. Brad Underwood took over a program that was not dead. It was 40 feet under. He coached at Oklahoma State for 1 year. So he was at a Power Five school in 1 year. He took over the program in Illinois that was dead. And then the third year, they were in the tournament. We all know that COVID took that away. So these people are tweeting and mad, saying, great, I'm glad you hired him because he didn't get out of the first round. Dude's only been on the coach at Illinois for 3 really years. Well, he's been there 5. But at the end of the day, he's only had, after he turned it around, 2 years. No, he didn't. They didn't get out of the Sweet 16 out of the second round last year, and they didn't this year. But you tell me a guy with his record and the winning percentages, things that he's done in the Big Ten, you're going to tell me that you don't think he's going to get out of the second round and advance further? If you want to congratulate Illinois with sarcasm, then you look stupid, because he obviously can win games. They won a Big Ten tournament, and they won a Big Ten title, And he's done it realistically, in my opinion, in 3 years. So, and in Oklahoma State, how many years did it take Coach K and Bobby Knight and all these other guys? And he has talent. And I just think, honestly, I think it's a good move. I'm excited for him. I'm excited for the university. But again, I have to give Josh Whitman credit. It's just, I'm so impressed with his willingness to show loyalty to people. Like, you don't think people are interested in Tim Anderson and Jeff and Tester? People are crazy. Look at the staff that Brett Bielema put together. What Division I football coach would literally fire his offensive coordinator after 1 year? That tells you that they're going to win. That they're going to win games. And Illinois is going to be a contender in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and no, that's great. And I'll tell you what, you know, you look at what I do as somebody who's, you know, been a sales manager and leader, is I look at historical precedents. And let's go back to Mike Krzyzewski. You know, his first year at Duke, you know, he was taking over a program that was 2 years removed, 3 years removed from going to the final game against Kentucky. They lost against Jack Givens. I think that was the Mike Jaminski team. And Krzyzewski took over, went 17-13 the first year, then slid back 10-17, 11-17 the next 2 years. And everybody was like, oh, we need to fire this guy. He's, you know, he's Bobby Knight's buddy, but he's not a good coach. And the next 2 years, you know, 83 and 84 and then 84, 85, he went to the NCAA round of 32, 2 years in a row. Trying to think who that reminds me of, but it'll come to me. And then all of a sudden, the next year, NCAA finalist, Sweet 16, Final Four, Final Four, NCAA finalist. Now all of a sudden, Coach K is like the modern day Tom Landry. He can't win the big one. And then he won the title 2 years in a row. So, Matt, if you take a look at this, I know I'm not trying to say he's Coach K, but what I am saying is if you have a coach with discipline and a vision and the ability to execute, sometimes it takes them a year, two, 3 years to put the chess pieces in place. And Coach K took over a basketball program in a lot better shape than what Brad Underwood took over this Fighting Illini team.
For all the people that like to coach Brad Underwood's team for them, and we have a lot of subscribers here on Illini guys that like to do that, I don't see how anybody from a basketball standpoint can say, Matt, this is a bad thing. Oh, yeah, there's a whole bunch of people who would love to coach Brad Underwood's team and then do pretty on a pretty consistent basis on our message boards. And God bless you, because I wouldn't have a job if you didn't. If you didn't pay that membership fee to do it. So God bless you. I love you. I love every one of you. I know you don't think so, but I do. From a basketball standpoint, I don't know how anybody argues that this isn't a good move. I'm just trained from what I've done my entire life. From a professional standpoint, to go, oh God, what did Illinois do from a contractual standpoint now? Like, I'm trained to think that. And I'll just give out a name again. His name is Brett Just. That is Brad Underwood's agent. He lives in suburban Chicago. He's an Illinois guy. I don't know this, but Mike, you might have coached against him because he's a former AAU coach, AAU basketball coach. Brett could have fleeced Illinois for a lot more money and probably gotten it. Let's just be real about how Illinois negotiates. I don't think he would have had a whole lot of pushback. Could have absolutely fleeced Illinois on this deal. And he didn't do it. And I have to believe, again, not being in that room and not being in the conversation, but I do know Brett's clients and I do know how he likes to place people. Perfect example. One of Brett's clients is Shaka Smart. Another one of Brett's clients is Chris Baird. You'll notice that Shaka left the job because he wasn't happy there. And Brett put Chris in that job at Texas after Shaka left it. I mean, it's kind of like trying to like pull all the strings together on a business deal. And Brett now has two clients in Shaka Smart and Chris Baird who are now happy. I say that to say this. I think that if Brett had gone to Josh Whitman and said, hey, look, are we going to do another deal? Like, what are we going to do contract-wise after this whole thing's over with? Because that conversation does happen. Don't think that it doesn't. And Josh Whitman's initial response is, dude, I just gave you a contract. What was it, 8-9 months ago? Like, what are you doing? What are we doing here? Like, if that had been the response, I know for a fact is how aggressive he is. Brett would have gone, oh, okay. And he would have created, he would have done one of two things. He would have created leverage so that Illinois gets fleeced on a contract like this that was announced today, because now it's a viable leverage option play for him, for Brad Underwood to, like, say, go to Kansas State. Or Brad Underwood is at Kansas State, because now that's the same lever that Brett pulled when, after a year, the Underwood people went to Oklahoma State and said, hey, we got you the tournament. Like, we've kind of revived this basketball program that you cherish so much. Like, what are we going to do from a contract standpoint? And in classic fashion, Mike Holder, the AD at Oklahoma State, went, No. Like, I just got fleeced by Mike Gundy again, like I do every year. I'm not doing this on the basketball side. And that was the response. And then suddenly Josh Whitman's getting off a plane with Brad Underwood in Savoy and has a new head coach. So that's kind of how this works. And so if you don't think that, I applaud Josh Whitman for just the response not being, dude, are we doing this every year? Like, just kind of a, Mike, you've been in a sales situation where it's like, there's just that exasperated tone of, God, are we going to do this every year? And I think Josh, as a lawyer, kind of understands, yeah, we're going to do this every year. Like, I mean, this is the world we live in now. And for that being the response, I think that's what you saw today out of a contract where, no, I don't think the Underwood people and his representation fleeced Illinois. And I don't think Illinois put themselves in a leverage situation where they're not pleased at what could happen later on if things don't keep going up from a basketball standpoint. So that's why I think everything won. And I give Josh Whitman credit for maybe an initial response that I believe happened with Underwood representation to not go, no, we're not doing a contract every year. That's not how we do business. And I think that the way that Illinois, and we've talked about this a lot, Mike, the way that Illinois has done business recently is a complete transformation from what has happened before.
Yeah. And look, it needed to be, because Mike Thomas was a disaster. And I would argue Ron Gunther was the worst thing for Illinois athletics in my lifetime. You know, when you let the football team languish at a under 400 win percentage for 20 plus years, you're lucky you have an athletic department left. But let's hone in, because I think a lot of people don't really get what Brad Underwood means to this organization or this university. So basically, if you go back in the records and you take a look at Illinois basketball, which is number 16 in wins historically in the NCAA, they have had two times where they have went to the NCAA 8 years in a row. Lou Henson accomplished that from 1983 through 1990 before he got kind of hosed by the Bruce Pearl, Bobby Knight, Digger Phelps, lynch mob that kind of framed him. And so that ended the streak at 8. And then the next longest streak was also 8. And that was done the last year of Lon Kruger, the first 3 years of Bill Self, and the first 4 years of Bruce Weber. So we've got 2 8-year streaks. Meanwhile, just for perspective, you know, Coach K's on like a 30-year streak or whatever they are, or something close to that. Missed one since like 1980, whatever it is. And I think Michigan State's on 24 in a row. So you get a team that you know, has been, before Underwood showed up, had been to the NCAAs twice in the decade prior to I guess three times in the decade prior to him showing up. And it took him a couple of years to get the roster turned around and play the style of basketball that you can win in the Big Ten. But, you know, he's got 2 years in a row, and probably should be, in fairness, it would be 3 in a row had COVID not hit. So already you're seeing a turnaround that it took Brad Underwood 5 years essentially to do what his predecessors did in 10. So pretty good run there by him, or at least in the prior 10 years. And then the other thing that he's done that you have to look at is really interesting. But from 2001 with Bill Self all the way through 2006 with Bruce Weber, Illinois lost in single digits 6 years in a row. And all of a sudden, you know, basically last year, Illinois finished 24-7. This year, Underwood finished 23-10. But one has a very easy argument to say if Kofi hadn't been suspended, if Curbelo hadn't had the concussion, if Hutcherson hadn't been out the season, if Frazier hadn't missed, you know, it's very easy to say that we'd be 2 years in a row in single digit losses. So what he has accomplished, and again, when you go back to the prior year, 21-10. So basically he has turned the corner on this program to an extent that is unbelievable. And I think people really need to get there. You know, I know a lot of people are talking, oh, you're being, you know, basketball nerdier. But you got to go back and put this into perspective as to what Underwood is doing for this program. Locking him in for 6 years and making sure that some kid, whether he's a five-star who lives in, you know, Lexington, Kentucky, or if he lives in Dallas, Texas, or he lives in Chicago, Illinois, this guy is going to know that if I go play for Illinois, that's the man. That is a big deal in college sports today. Kedrick, what do you think about this reasoning that I'm throwing out there?
Well, one of the things you guys do is to pay me to do recruiting. And I'm going to tell you, when that hit the media today, go look at his Twitter page, all of his recruits, one of them, I'm going to say Ty Rogers, just put flat out, this is the GOAT. This helps recruiting. You, one of you guys mentioned about going to the Final Four when other coaches see this. I'll tell you what's also happening. He's setting the standard pretty high for other coaches and for other conferences to take care of the coaches. When you're a basketball recruit and you know they're not going anywhere, because let's face it, when Bruce Weber resigned, when he was finished at Kansas State, all the rumors were, you know he's going, it's his alma mater, why would he not turn it down? He doesn't want to be at Illinois. All these excuses didn't go. He stayed loyal to the program, and that's what kids want to see. What I like about it, because you don't see coaches do this anymore. The days of, like, Tom Izzo, what Bill Self is doing, and what Coach K's done at Duke, you just don't see coaches doing it because it's hard to sustain it. It is hard to sustain it. And to tell you how intelligent he is, I'm not going to lie to you guys. When they lost Orlando, I was concerned because I know how good he is. I know how good of a recruiter and his connection. So what did he do? He hired a former player. A lot of former guys want to be on the staff. And then he hired Tim Anderson. Those two dudes and Jeff, they're just at a different level. I mean, and you look at where the program has been and where they are now, there's transfer kids who get their names in the portal. They're calling Illinois now. And I'll tell you one of the things that they said, they're not begging kids anymore. Remember when he first got there, you had to try to sell a vision. Kids didn't know what kind of offense they were going to run. Well, you're going to let the kids run. When I interview these kids, when I go see these kids in AAU tournaments, all the coaches that we're going to run and we're going to get to do this. They're lying. A lot of coaches lie. Not Brad Underwood. Because I'm going to tell you, if you can shoot the basketball, you're going to play for him. He's a player's coach. And I don't want to ruffle any feathers because this is about Brad Underwood. But the way he treats his players and the leashes he gives them is unreal. Because to me personally, Curbelo would have been out a lot of games for me. And that tells you what kind of player coach is. That when I attend the games, the guys who are calling the games, the play-by-play, the color guys, they'll tell you, man, I can't believe he's still in the game. So he's a player coach. He's proven that. And is he tough to play for? Yeah, but a lot of coaches are. And I respect the fact to see where the program is going. He's loyal. His vision is there. And hiring his staff, he knows what he's doing. This isn't something that he just has to worry about what the fans are going to think. He's going to hire the right fit. They're going to be a good culture program better for kids. And I'll leave it with this. When they lost to Houston, you know, word on the street was his roster is going to look different because the game is different. You got to have guys with some size and athletic guards and athletic wings. And what I'm looking at in this transfer portal, who's contacting them, and recruits coming in, that's exactly what that roster is going to look like. He can make adjustments, and I like that about the guy.
Matt?
Mike, I'm going to kind of cede to you and your sales background and honestly your historical background when it comes to Illinois basketball. I'm just going to ask you, when's the last time like Louisville and Maryland have been open and it has not been financially viable for them to hire the Illinois coach? Because that's kind of what happened here in a sense, because the number before that was $9 million. Before today, before March 30th, 2022 was $9 million. And that's before you ever pay that coach a dime.
You're talking about the buyout.
About the buyout for Louisville to hire Brad Underwood. I'm talking about the buyout. The buyout for Maryland was $20 million. And
right, because they're a Big Ten.
That was never going to happen, right, because that's a Big Ten school now. But let's just call it with Louisville. Like, if Louisville wanted to hire Brad Underwood, and I happen to know way back when, this is a few months ago, that call was made to Underwood's representation. Like it was to God knows how many basketball coaches when Chris Mack finally walked out of that building in the middle of that season.
Yep.
The number was not financially viable for Louisville to be able to do at nine. I put some preliminary numbers out there, and some of them are just best guess estimates that I put out on our board, but I'll just put out, it's somewhere now in the neighborhood. That buyout now somewhere is in the neighborhood of $11.5 million for a non-Big Ten school to hire Brad Underwood right now, before you ever pay a Brad Underwood a dime,
right,
and get a contract taken care of. That really precludes more than, I think, everybody except for maybe five schools in the country in hiring Brad Underwood. That's what you've done from a basketball standpoint. That number from a football standpoint would be laughed at in terms of making it a unviable number. No. From a football standpoint, trust me, I covered the SEC for over a decade. That number gets laughed at. That number gets, they make two phone calls, pass the hat around to the people that smoke the cigars in the back room, and that number's taken care of. But for basketball, for men's basketball, that number is still a huge number now. $11.5 million before you ever pay anybody is a huge number. So you've made it financially inviable now for big-time programs, programs that would be considered blue blood type programs if they were in a Final Four like the one we have now, to hire Brad Underwood. And you did it in a way that doesn't basically kind of tie you to Brad Underwood if 3 years from now it kind of goes the way that, I don't know, like Bruce Weber went, okay? If that were to happen, Illinois can pull the plug on this whole deal, go find themselves another coach, and the number that they're still paying on Brad Underwood would not be unbelievably unbearable. So, I don't remember the last time that Illinois financially has put themselves in a scenario where they don't really have to worry about anything more than maybe five programs around the country sniffing around their coach. And I think that's kind of where on March 30th, 2022, that's where we sit today.
And that was always the issue that I had with Ron Gunther, is he would pat himself on the back that, you know, Bill Self was the eighth highest paid coach in the Big Ten. And he patted himself on the back so much that it made it, to be honest, laughably easy for the Kansas Jayhawks to write a check to attract Bill Self. And I remember, you know, going into the assembly hall his third year, thinking to myself, my God, we could lose this in a heartbeat because we're not paying this guy for what he's doing for the program. And, you know, that's where you got to tip the hat to Josh Whitman. The other thing, and my final thought here, and I'll go around the horn, but the other thing that makes Brad Underwood different, there's two things. One is he's got the ability to plan, but he also can then execute his plan. And there's a very fine line between not accepting excuses and finding a way to work with people to get to a goal. And he walks that fine line very well. The other thing that he does, and this is going to be something that you'll see in the next year to 2 years, is he does such a good job allowing his coaches to be autonomous and kind of work on their own. He doesn't do everything. He gives these guys experiences and responsibilities that build up their ability to be a coach in the future. And because of that, you will see guys like Jeff Alexander, guys like Chester Frazier, and guys like Tim Anderson, they will go to be head coaches. And my guess is they'll be very successful because they know what it's like to have their butt on the line to get a guy to come to Illinois, to scout out a team and coach your team to play defense or offense against the team and then be held accountable for the game results. He doesn't just, you know, coach everything and then have his assistant coaches do the laundry. They actually are developed. And so you'll see over the next 2 years, as this team gets more and more successful, you'll see his coaches go on, which is really important because then the next coaches that he hires, and he's proven now two times that he can put together a winning staff, but the next coaches he hires will be the same quality guys because they will recognize that if I want to have aspirations to become a head coach, I need to work with a guy like Coach Underwood. I need to work with somebody who's going to develop my skills, push me out of my comfort zones, make me feel like crap because I've got to learn something that I'm bad at and make me better. So there's a lot of reasons why Illini fans should be extremely happy with what happened today. So, Ked, I'm going to let you kind of give me your final countdown on this, and then we'll loop around to Matt.
Well, again, I think it's a good hire. You mentioned the fact about Coach Underwood and his staff. I think it's really important to note this. Brad Underwood was at a junior college. He coached at Western Illinois. He didn't forget where he came from. And one of the reasons he wants his coaches to be well-rounded, it's a good look for a coach to have a good coaching tree. But, you know, he didn't forget. And he knows what it's like to be an assistant to not have an opinion. Now, I don't mean this in a negative way, but Coach Cal at Kentucky, tell you what, it's hard to get a word in. Your assistant coaches are seeing things and watching things and drawing up things that you may not see during the game because you're into the game. And he allows his guys to give input. I like that about him. I know every Division I staff, football, basketball, they all have meetings, but he's really special about that. And I think this, you know, like we said, you know, moving forward, it sends a message. And let's just say, like Matt mentioned, in 3 years, he wants to get out. If he's continuing to win, Illinois is not an attractive job on a national level. If you read one of the comments that Josh Whitman said in that press release, which is on our site, one of the things is we are now reestablished ourselves nationally, not just in the Big Ten. And that's the key. You're getting kids from all over the country and you're competing and you're winning nationally. Josh isn't stupid. He knows that in a one-game tournament, Illinois, they didn't play well, got a bad break. He can see the vision and the long term of the program, and I like that.
Yep, that's a great comment. Matt, bring us home on your side on this.
The one thing I kept thinking about Wednesday afternoon when I finally got done with everything, the homework, the math, the story, is this the last contract that Brad Underwood signs? Because on December 14th, this past December 14th, he turned 58 years old. And I can't help but notice they only increased this a year. And there's no limit like when I was dealing with in Mississippi where in Mississippi, you can only have a 4-year contract for public employees. So every year they increase it by a year to get you to the 4-year maximum. That's right. In the state of Mississippi. There are a lot of states that are like that. Illinois is not like that. Brad Underwood could have signed a 10-year contract today if he wanted to. I keep going back to the idea they only increased it a year. And I keep going back to the idea that at 75 years old this weekend, Mike Krzyzewski is going to coach in his final four. I just don't know with the way the business works and the way that the transfer portal kind of just draws your energy. Like, it's just a tough business to be in now. Like, if you're a coach and you get amply compensated. I'm not saying these guys are, you know, victims, right? Far from it. What I'm saying is I just don't think either in football or basketball, you're going to see a whole lot of 70-year-olds be head coaches at the Power Five level anymore. And so I'm sitting here and I'm going, that gets him to 65. And I wonder if there's a point where Brad Underwood goes, even if they keep increasing it a year, just so Brad Underwood can maybe get a little bit more money. And, you know, Brett's going to go to Josh and go, hey, we're doing another contract again this year, right? Like, that response will always be there. But I do wonder if Brad Underwood kind of understands, because he has said it before, like, this is my last go around here. This is like, I waited so long to become a head coach. I got to make this work, and I got to make this work in this window here. And I feel like there's a lot of what Brad Underwood does that that makes me feel like he understands the window that he's up against here. And so, I mean, not to get too, you know, not to kind of, you know, make Illinois fans, you know, sad or depressed or angry, but I think you're getting a very, very motivated coach over these next 6 years and throughout this contract that I think that he thinks this is the window where if I'm going to do something great at a school like Illinois, this is the window I'm going to get. And I kind of wonder why it was only increased a year. And then I thought for a minute and went, well, it gets him to 65. And I wonder if he understands, one, that Illinois is the last job he's ever going to have in his head, go out and get another job. But in his head, he's going, this is the last job I'm going to have. And two, is this the last contract I'm really going to have? Because this window is huge for me, because by the time I hit 60, you know, I'm on the backside of my career from a coaching standpoint. And everybody kind of understands that. Nobody's going to be Coach K anymore. Nobody's going to do what Roy Williams did and coach into their 70s. I just don't believe that.
Yeah, to me, it's hard to know. I mean, definitely this free agency essentially has made it much tougher on coaches, because you really can't recruit your 2023s other than just blanketing all the 5-stars and 4-stars that you think you could conceivably need. You can't really effectively go after your 2023s till you know who's leaving your program and who you get to come back. So, I mean, this is a lot harder than it used to be. But I will say another thing is, though, is Whitman's pretty smart. And look, you know, when you sell something, if you can go out there with a message, and if every year when the interest level is at its highest in the news, Illinois is always talking about Brad Underwood getting an extension in his contract, that's also a strategy that's pretty good. So let's hope that Brad has that continued success, and maybe he's like Coach K and he'll be here till he's 75, and then you'll be older and I'll be closer to 75 than I'd like to admit. And we will have aged through a golden era of Illini sports. So with that, Matt Stevens, thank you so much for coming on. Hopefully fans, you've got an idea of what's going on with Coach Underwood and Coach Whitman. Big day for both men for very similar reasons, but you really understand that when you look at those two coupled with Coach Bielma, you're really looking at a Illinois athletic department that really is under its first big boy pants in all three positions at the same time since Neil Stoner was here with Mike White and Lou Henson. And trust me, folks, that's a dang good thing. And we're going to have a lot of fun coming up. So with that, speaking of fun coming up, you got to get to IlliniGuys.com, subscribe. You will be in our message boards. You'll know a lot of stuff going on in the transfer portal before it happens. You'll know who we're interested in. You'll know who doesn't want to come to Illinois. All sorts of neat and exciting stuff. There's no need to wait for it. There's no need to wait in, you know, one of these other websites where they kind of figure out after we tweet something. Just find it out first here. It's really easy. So come to IlliniGuys.com, get your 7-day free trial. There's no better time to do it than the transfer portal. And when we're waiting for people to go to the NBA draft, it's a lot of fun. There's a lot of nails being bitten, but it is a good time. And you can get on the message boards and you learn things ahead of time. The next thing is we've got the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That is a radio show that's on Fridays and Saturdays across Illinois. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the radio button, and you can find out what day and what time we're on. And when you listen, please call up your station and say thank you. And we have Sturdy for 30, and we have Ked's Recruiting Roundup, two other podcasts. Make sure you listen to those. They're very good. And anytime you listen to an Illini Guys podcast, we'd love it. If we earn that 5-star review, if you can give it to us, we'd really appreciate it. For Matt Stevens, Kedrick Prince, this is Mike Kegley. Thank you so much for listening.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over 1 million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.